Blog Talk Radio.
Almighty Yahweh promises to gather everyone he scatters. I am a Hebrew. We are Hebrews.
Born in Tennessee.
I am a Hebrew, born in Arkansas.
I am a Hebrew, I was born in Texas.
I am a Hebrew, and I am from Florida.
I'm a Hebrew, and I was born in California.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in San Diego, California.
I'm a Hebrew, I was born in Indiana.
I'm a chosen generation, a royal priesthood.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Spain.
私は Hebrew です。日本で生まれました。
Soy hebrea, nací en Puerto Rico.
I am a Hebrew from West Africa, Liberia.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Straight Lane.
We are Hebrews.
Hey,
shalom, shalom, bless y'all, Sister Ashley here. I have, how many sisters I got? Five. Six. I have six sisters behind me. Hallelujah. Wanting to hear what y'all want to hear. It's an honor. Thank you all so much for coming together once again. Thursday night, fifth day, we call it. Just to hear what Yah may convict you with or speak to you or a different direction he may lead you, impart something into you. Thank you so much for tuning in tonight. I hope you can hear me. Give me some tens, please. Chat room, faithful chatters. Bless you, Brother Steve. All the northern tribes and everyone listening. Koya, bless you. Let's go to Jennifer in Georgia. Get a sound check.
Shalom. Sister Ashley, blessings to you and blessings to you all, Daughters of Zion. It's such an honor and a privilege just to be on here tonight with you all. Sister Ashley, thank you for having me on for another episode of Sister to Sister. I pray that everybody can hear me. And I'm in the process of pulling up the chat room now, but if you cannot hear me, please let us know so that we can do what we have to do on our end. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. To Yah, our Redeemer, a blessed holy name tonight. I would not choose his way without his conviction, without his spirit, without his gathering, without his commitment and his love for me and his people has made it impossible for me to serve any other God or any other way. There is no option for me. So until death, I will not depart. There's a lot of people in my life that deserve credit for being an example to me, a friend to me, a sister to me. My husband, my pastor. There's just a lot of people in my life that have poured into me. I won't name them all, but I'm very, very thankful in my heart, to my mind. Even my iron deserves credit. You know, those who have sharpened me, thanks but no thanks. I'm being funny, but thanks even to my iron. And, you know, Pastor, our shepherd deserves honor from me because of the invaluable opportunity he's given me to live on this land for free, with a sincere goal to pave a way for me and for others, for my family, to make it into a kingdom that the word says the righteous will scarcely enter into. And if the righteous shall scarcely enter into the kingdom that we all seek, then where shall the sinner and the ungodly appear? So the word says. But it's a sincere sacrifice of our shepherd to reveal to the entire world who we are, who he is, to let them see our land, our homes, our buildings, you know, all for the sake of Yah, that many would follow this straight and narrow way. You know, let them see who your family is and our ups and downs or what we're like, to let the world see your heart. You know, every video, every click of a button, the world is able to scrutinize. And we endure that. He endures that as a sound soldier of Yah. So I'm thankful for him. I'm also, of course, you know, grateful for my beloved husband, Deacon Bell. Very meek, very humble. He's in love with Yah, and he's sincerely dedicated. He's deserving of my honor, as many of you are as well. And he relates to the body of Christ and those who really, you know, seek him through counsel, through phone calls or any contact. He really relates to them in a real personal way, an entreating way. You know, he's just a different manifestation of Yah than some of you have ever seen in a man who has got a great balance of strength and gentleness. And going on 22 years at one job shows his dedication, you know, as a man to his family, to Christ first, and to all of us. But just a few more. I would have to say thank you to the Straightway Offlanders, which we have the acronym SWALS, Straightway Offland Sisters, you know, who strive hard, who overcome, and who are willing to help one another and to really, as I said, overcome. I see great growth in my Offland Sisters. I love them a lot. I rely on them a lot. And I just appreciate any of you that may be listening tonight. And thank you to the Be a Blessing contributors. Bless you, bless you, bless you. I'm sure Sister Jennifer and her announcements might give you a little bit of update. But thank you to anyone who has already sent something in or is planning on helping out this feast. It's coming together wonderfully. This is a time where many of you have already called in. We're over 700. And it's beautiful to know that it started off on a really, really good note, you know, that everyone is giving their dates as soon as they could, sending in things as soon as they could, and it's just started off with a great spirit. And lastly, to the mothers, bless y'all, and to the aged women who are willing to be used to pour into hard-headed sisters such as myself or the younger generation, I thank y'all for laying down your lives so that you may benefit us all in the body. Thank y'all again for tuning in and listening. I hope that you, I know that you'll get something out of tonight's show. I know you will. So back to Jennifer, back to Georgia. Bless Ella Rufus, all the house of Georgia there in Straightway, Georgia. Jennifer, talk to me. What's on your heart?
Yes, ma'am, Sister Ashley. I just want to acknowledge the Most High just for being such a faithful and loving and righteous Elohim. I thank him so much for never, ever changing his way. For never being unstable, for just keeping me, watching over me, protecting, and just really guarding my heart, and for protecting my mind, maturing me, strengthening me, helping me along the way in this walk, and just being my comforter. And everything that I need, I can go to him. I'm so thankful for the relationship that I have in him, the relationship that was really taught to me by Elder Rufus, my husband, and I'm so thankful for just belonging to him. I'm so thankful for being his possession. I'm so thankful for being his Ashaya. You know, for the times that I've struggled in my mind, he's always been very stable in his mind. The times when I've struggled, you know, in my mind with wisdom, he's always been very wise and discerning. And I'm just so thankful for his teaching and leading me and just showing me how to be the wife that I need to be by being able to watch his example with the Most High Yah. And finally, I just want to acknowledge Pastor Dow, our shepherd, for the messages, especially the messages that he's been preaching, for living a life of faith. You know, the messages that he's bringing now, it's nothing new. It is nothing new. It's been talked about in the Word. It's been lived out through our shepherd. It's nothing new for Straightway at all, especially when you hear the testimony, you know, of the experiences that they've had and how the Most High has always showed up on their behalf. You know, the belief that they have is just, it is so strengthening to me. It really is. It really increases my faith. And I'm so thankful that we have a righteous example in Straightway, the ones who have been there from the very beginning, the ones who live on the land now, that they're just unwavering. They don't allow doubt and unbelief to come in. And it really takes a maturity in the Father to be able to stand against the voice of unbelief, you know, the voice that the devil tries to whisper in your ear. So I'm so thankful for Pastor Dow for teaching his unwavering faith, teaching the unwavering faith of the Most High Yah, and for the example that he sets. And that's all I have, Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. So if you're new, it's every few months that I get a comment in our videos on YouTube that asks, how do I catch you guys live? Because they're always watching the repeat. So we're live now, but if you hear this, you'll be, or you can tune in 6 p.m. Central Standard Time on Thursday evenings, and you'll find it at blogtalkradio.com/straightway. Straightway spelled S-T-R-A-I-T-W-A-Y, so there's no G-H in the word straight. And you'll find us. You'll tune in at 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. You can also call in 310-982-4226. You can find us that way. And to my sisters who have some really good answers, feel free to respond to any of the comments or the questions that we get on the Help Meets channels. They are viewed by myself when I get to it. I try to read as many of the comments as I can, especially responding to those who are, you know, what's your phone number? How do I email you? You know, those that are really reaching out for contact. So if you got that answer, you read and come across that comment, you are more than welcome to assist those individuals. So thank you to anyone who has subscribed. We're almost at 4,000 subscribers and 50 people listening every week. Interesting, right? It's like, what are the 4,000 people doing? But anyway, I'm glad to be a part of the remnant. Like Mama Zsa Zsa says, hey, 700 people at the feast and 38 or 50 people listening to our shows each week. Interesting, huh? What's the 700 of us doing? So I hope that we're preparing ourselves for Passover. Hallelujah. We talk about it all year. We're always prepping ourselves for the day of the return of the Most High Yah. So the seriousness needs to increase each feast, and it does, as long as you stay connected to him. Sister Jennifer, give some announcements, be a blessing, or anything else that we may have forgotten.
Yes, ma'am. Please go to Straightway Help Meets YouTube video and watch the video regarding Be a Blessing. The Be a Blessing list is the items that you can purchase to help Straightway out, to bless Straightway. You hear the number is growing. It's over 700, and it is growing. So make sure that you're not just coming empty-handed. And this Be a Blessing list, it does not cover the offering that you're going to bring, your offering that you're going to place into the hands of the man of Yah. It does not cover that. That is actually separate. The Be a Blessing list is to actually cover the items that are used to feed you, to house you for however many days you're going to be there, just to take care of very, very basic needs, you know, even right down to toilet paper. You know, it takes a certain amount of toilet paper just to be able to take care of so many people using the bathroom every single day. So make sure that we're doing our part and that we don't just come to someone's home and leave them in a depleted state. So go and watch the Be a Blessing list. Call the dining hall. Let them know what you plan to bring. The sooner you call, the better. If you wait, then they're not going to know what they have and what they still need, you know. So if you call now, the sooner the better, so that they can properly take the inventory that they need to take. I hear Mother Carol has already started her shopping, and you basically have to when you're hosting that many people. So if she started her shopping, then we can start our shopping, and we can go ahead and start sending things in. But make sure that you call the dining hall so that they'll know when to expect packages, what to expect. They can give you information on where to have it sent. Don't just send something. Call first, please. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. And to those who may assume or believe the accusation that we're just begging, because we get that from the devil each year, it's just not true. It's really not true. And what we actually start in the kitchen is a list of the things that come in or the things that we know that you're sending, so that we can stop the products from coming in if we no longer need any more. Sometimes we may not ever stop because, hey, with oil, for example, we use it endlessly through the feast, or just honey, you know, whatever it may be. But then other things we'll say, nope, we got enough, if you don't mind, that's not needed, you know. So it's not about us just, you know, amassing things into ourselves or begging the people. It's really just because we're such a family, and majority of the righteous want to do what they can, you know. They want to, some people are even bummed that they can't give more, you know, no matter how much they bring, no matter if it's one box or 10, they're like, oh, I wish I could do more, you know. And even me, who I live a sacrifice life here, I don't have a job out in the world that I can financially bless the land with, so I try to pour myself into the children or my help and my service to the sisters that live around me. I just can't give enough to say that I'm grateful and thankful for the opportunity to have, you know, breath, life, and strength in my body, but also to say thank you and I love you to Shepherd, his family, for the opportunity to be here. So we just want to give. It's in a sincere Israelite's heart. So I thank y'all for sharing that mindset and anything that y'all do give us. And if you notice, even something as simple as laundry soap, which we've always asked for, we're okay this year, so we didn't put it on the list. We believe we have enough to get us through that whole entire week, so it's just an item that we didn't add. So we do try to be righteous on our end and not put anything unnecessary, for sure. So thank you to everyone, 100-fold, for everything that you've already given us. Any other announcements under the Holy Day calendars? Yes, it is sold out, but thank you to anyone who bought it, and thank you to the makers of it. So we look forward to the one next year. We hope that it's always going to be available for us. But it never fails. You get the handful of Israelites that's like, what calendar? Where do we get it? Huh? And we've been talking about it like every week, you know, and you'll get that comment on our videos every once in a while. So sorry, it is sold out. You missed your opportunity. And I hope next year, if you're following along around this time of year, you'll be able to partake if you're interested. What else, Sister Jennifer, announcements?
Sister Ashley, I wanted to say that, you know, Elder Rufus and I, we experienced our very first Passover with Straightway in 2011. And from 2011 up until now, Straightway has never asked for anything. And that 2011 Passover was very small. You know, Straightway provided everything, every single thing. We just came in and they hosted us, you know, and it was just such a very intimate time, and it's grown so big now. It really has, and they have not asked for a single thing. The Be a Blessing list came about because Elder Rufus saw the effort and the money and the expense, everything that was being put into hosting so many people, and he just thought it would be right to bless Straightway for hosting us. So they've never, ever put out the fact that, you know, well, hey, we need you to bring paper towels. We need you to bring food. They've never asked us to do that. It's just something that started on the heart of Elder Rufus. So I just wanted to put that out there. From 2011 up until now, since I've known Straightway, they have not asked for anything. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah, and thank you to Elder Rufus. It is really an awesome idea, and so many people are glad to give. So I'll tell you, my sincere hope and desire for tonight's show is to, you know, in this life, at least in my life, repentance has really been, it's really paid off in every kind of way. You get freer and freer, and oftentimes come into a way that you've never walked, no one's ever shown you. You know, proper ways to repent or what to say or you know, maybe you didn't know things were sins or whatever your heart condition is when you are introduced to the Most High. Tonight's intention was to be able to show you something else to repent for. As we hear our shepherd and even some of the teachers, the elders in the ministry really talk about the faith that they want to see amongst us so that Yah's spirit can really move, you know, so that it can really perform the miracles. If your faith can contribute to someone else's healing, wouldn't you want your faith to be there? You know, if it can contribute even to your own healing, you would want your faith to measure up to what Yah's expectations are for you. And sometimes we don't understand the depths of our doubts or why our doubts even exist. You might know a voice that you hear, but not be able to relate it to a spiritual condition or a open door that Satan has been able to speak and minister to your mind. So the hope is that you would find something else about yourself or your life, your circumstance and scenarios that have happened to you that's going to trace it back to you, maybe connect some dots tonight. That's my sincere hope. So, Jennifer, what's your hope as we talk about doubt and unbelief and increasing faith?
You know, Sister Ashley, my hope is that is your hope, that we would just get set free and stop denying the things that have happened, and, you know, stop trying to sweep things under the rug. There are going to be some uncomfortable things that you have to acknowledge, but you have to go back to those areas so that you can be set free. We've, you know, lived for so long just pushing things down, suppressing moments, suppressing things, instead of really telling the truth, you know, whether it be about ourselves or our own character or whatever it is, what has happened to us, or owning up to our own responsibilities. But it's time to just be mature. So my hope is that with this, in this broadcast, that we get to the point where we can learn how to be mature so that we can stop being bound and that we can walk in the freedom that the Most High has for us, you know, what Pastor Dowell is teaching now, that we can move along in that vein. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. So Jeremiah 32:17 says, "Aha, behold, you have made the heaven and the earth by your great power and your stretched out arm. There's nothing too hard for you." And I always remind the Father of, you promised to finish what you started. You know, you promised to finish what you started in me. It's not too hard for him. You show loving kindness unto thousands. You recompense the iniquity of the fathers into the bosom of their children, even after them. The great and the mighty Yah. Yah of hosts is his name. So we serve a mighty Yah that is very misunderstood, and he's very accused. And in the accusation that the enemy brings to our minds against our Yah, that is where we open doorways to become very bitter towards him. And because of our own emotions, we agree and side with the thoughts that we believe are ourselves, or with the emotions that we believe are ourselves, when really Satan is seeking to divide and separate you from a mighty Yah that nothing is too hard for. He's a giver of life, and he's a giver of love, and he's accused of being such a destroyer and a taker. And so I want to present just a few, literally every scenario that will come to my mind, every sister that comes to my mind. I won't say her name, but I know of some pretty, you know, drastic situations that have happened to individuals. And as I say them tonight, I want to hear from Jennifer what that sister might hear, specifically in relation to doubting Yah, the voices she might have to overcome in order to have faith, or wherever the Spirit may lead Jennifer. But let me give you my first example. So a sister was molested in her life. Now, these, and remind you, before I tell you these scenarios, none of them knew the real Yah, the real God, as some of you have said, the Lord. No one knew the Lord. And so you have this hectic, chaotic, cursed life being lived out because of the sins of the ancestors and because of the iniquity that each individual is born into. And not knowing Yah, the enemy is still able to accuse Yah. Okay? So none of these sisters had a shepherd. None of them had direction, which is why it's so weighty on our elders and our pastors to truly guide correctly, because they will receive a greater condemnation. They must tell us how to find our God, our Yah. They must tell us how to be holy. They have to teach us that. It is their calling, and if they don't, they will receive a greater judgment than even us for our sins. That's Yah's way. And so you can even read throughout the, not the Torah, but the Old Covenant, you can read and see the weight that's placed upon the shepherds that lead flocks astray, that lead so many people astray. So now we have one, right? It's no light thing. Yes, his name is Charles. Yes, he's in the flesh. Yes, he's just a man. But he's truly just a tool. One of the most beneficial messages to my soul that I've ever heard was our shepherd teaching us how to go before the throne of judgment and to be able to, you got, you know, Satan on one side and the Messiah on the other, and Satan's accusing you before the throne. And he has legal reasons why. Because of what you said and what you've done, and because of what your fathers and your ancestors have said and done. And so because our Yah is a legal lawyer or judge, he can't move past what we bound ourselves by. And so through Christ giving us the opportunity to be loosed from everything, as long as we diligently seek him and hearken to his voice, to be loosed from everything, to be set free is amazing. So each sister that I may speak of tonight, I'll give the scenario because you know their background. They didn't have direction or a shepherd. It's not an excuse, because once they have found the way, now you're faced with all your fears, all your doubts. Now you're commanded to manifest faith, and your feet are commanded to walk straight. And so we all hit those crossroads or those impossibilities or those moments of deliverance where you have to meet a requirement. All right, so regardless of these backgrounds, because some of them are really, just tear-jerking, really, if you had ever heard these sisters tell these stories. But regardless of how tear-jerking it is, freedom is supposed to be the outcome. All right, so I'm going to present the scenario. Jennifer has not heard any of them, by the way, and she'll give me the freedom scenario, what that person has to overcome. So this first sister was molested by a pastor. So you can imagine the thoughts of someone that is supposed to represent God to her, doing the things unto her that are not right, or are they? Because you don't know what's going on. You're young. So now you're faced with temptations of being alone and abandoned, that you've never felt that darkness in your life before. So it's going to isolate you. So then she's molested again by a family member or a family friend, and now she just feels completely exposed, completely unguarded, unsafe, unprotected. So then let's throw in a death where they lose the very mentor, the grandmother, and the example that they have in their life, which is hope and love, and you have extreme abandonment by this point. So you withdraw, and you're going to develop this shell, and you're going to get really hard because you don't know God. But what's going to happen? You're going to accuse him along the way. Your heart says, you took what I loved. You took this from me. Where were you? I don't need anyone anymore. I don't need a man. So maybe you begin to lay with men. You become sexual promiscuous. You don't value your body. Maybe you are even interested in women. It goes both ways. but you now have a core issue of mistrust that there sincerely cannot be anybody in your life that you trust in. And because there's no representation of righteousness or in your world, there's no representation of Christ either. There's no representation of purity or what a true relationship should even be like. So, Jennifer, tell me what doubts she would have to overcome in order to manifest faith for healing.
Well, she would have to overcome doubt in the area of trust, you know, in the area of trusting spiritual authority. So, you know, I know you said that she was abused by, sexually abused by a pastor. So if she meets a true, real pastor, she's going to be challenged with trusting him as a spiritual authority in her life. And if a woman has dealt with that in her past, and like you said, she didn't know Yah, she had no relationship with the Most High Yah, then she is going to see any man that comes into her life as just the same as the one who offended her, just the same as the one who has molested her. Even if she meets a righteous man, then she would see them as the same men from her past. There would be an accusation there continually against Yah. You know, she'd have to fight that accusation of, you know, Yah not protecting her. Yah always, well, if he sees, then why did he allow me to go through this? So always questioning Yah, always questioning his love for her. So those would be some of the challenges that she would have to face. And if she didn't deal with the bitterness and the unforgiveness, then, you know, it would be very hard for her to get any type of deliverance. So she'd have to first deal with bitterness and unforgiveness that she may have towards herself, because she may blame herself for what has happened. Bitterness and unforgiveness toward Yah, the accusations that she would hold in her heart against the Most High Yah for, quote unquote, allowing this to happen to her, and the bitterness and the unforgiveness that she would hold in her heart against the one who offended her. So she would have to deal with those three areas of bitterness and unforgiveness first before she could actually move on to really dealing with the other areas. Sister Ashley?
Good job. So I help this sister with deliverance, and you're exactly right. We go after bitterness, really, towards Yah, because of how life's circumstances have played out. And for you who are listening who have not had deliverance or maybe not found, you know, had a lot of it, the Father, His Spirit, is very detailed, very intricate, and He's all-knowing. So He'll pull up things with the deliverance workers or with this individual that maybe have been forgotten or might have not ever been known, meaning if it were a sin of your ancestors, you can find those sins out. Not that it's even imperative that you do, meaning if a sin from your ancestors binds you, then yes, Yah will reveal. But it's not important for you to go confessing A to Z sins of your ancestors if you don't, in fact, really know how it affects you either, if I can say that and bring a balance in my speech. So what the Spirit did, what the Father Spirit did during this deliverance was revealed idolatry's presence. So going after bitterness towards Yah, towards men, towards those who have angered and hurt her, molested her, etc., those traumas in her life, now we have an idolatry issue to deal with. And that idolatry was the worship of another deity from her ancestors that would have been something like the same scenario. Let's say her ancestors were doubting in the Creator. So they sought blessings, money from other gods, or even prayed to another god. In this particular situation, I had saw in my mind a large crowd of people dancing around a fire. So you go after that worship. And the Spirit just really opposed everything I was saying, hated what I was saying. So this connection that her ancestors had to idolatry had now cursed her with poverty. Okay? A curse of poverty, believe it or not, it comes up pretty often in deliverances, to where you feel like something is literally following you around all your life. You can't get on your feet. And so now you have an idolatry situation from your ancestors who have worshipped someone else. Our ancestors used to worship other gods for rain on their crops, you know, for money because of their poverty, for whatever circumstance in life that your flesh was extremely challenged to can make you seek to another god. So anyway, now she has the manifestation of this idolatry through her despite of our mighty Elohim. So I won't go really deep into that, but her ancestors worshiped other gods for answers, for blessings, for money, etc. That came up in deliverance. And then, of course, the curse of poverty was released, and the spirit was really, if you've ever heard some of the sound bites from pastors' deliverances that he plays on Blog Talk, you'll hear the screaming, you know, and the desperation of demons to exit out of a vessel, a body. And so it made me think, when I walked away from the deliverance, could we really sincerely find even 10 women in America who feel safe? You know, who really feel safe. And safety is not just a natural thing, like, yes, okay, I got a Glock, and you got a Ruger, and he got a, she got a, we can just protect our own flesh. It's not that safety that I'm talking about. I refer to the safety that's only found in the pavilion and the shadow of the Most High Yah's wings. So you sincerely, that's what you're doing, my sisters. You're yearning for that safety because you feel very exposed. You feel very vulnerable. We're very weak. You know, there's only so much we can take before we're going to put up a wall or a shell or, you know, withdraw ourselves. Because you don't want to experience pain and hurt again. You just don't. And in this particular situation, she has to guard herself against that as well. You got a lot of hell you've been through. You got a lot of hurt and pain you've been through. And you felt those emotions before. So now you have to hide in Yah's safety, because maybe I won't be there for you. Maybe he won't, she won't, your husband won't. Maybe someone might die. And those feelings, we don't like to revisit those. We really don't like to go through those things. So that's just another point for, you know, hopefully bringing up anything in your mind that may connect with what you need to repent for, because you do want to have faith, and you want to have faith when it's hard, you know. And that, when it's hard, when it's challenging, when you're going through something, that's when you don't manifest any at all. You know, let me go to Job. Hold on a second. Let me go there. I think it's chapter 30. Let me just read a couple of things. And Job was going through something, obviously, in the flesh, and he had lost a lot, right? So bear with me for a second as I just jump from verse to verse, because I don't know where I'm going to start. But just think of even yourself in your calamity, or the thing that has hurt you or traumatized you, a rape, a molestation, a death, anything you've been through that has really hurt you, and this man's going through the same thing, okay? So some of his prayers, he said, when I looked for good, evil came on me. I'm waiting for light, and there's nothing but darkness. The days of affliction have prevented me from rest. I went away mourning without the sun. That means even in the middle of the night, right? I stood up, and I even cried in the congregation. So he's seeking help in every way. He says, I cried unto you, this is verse 20, and you did not hear me. I stood up, and you regarded me not. He's cast me into the mire, and I've become like dust and ashes. So I'm a brother to dragons and a companion to owls. Those are two pretty lonely beasts, right? He says, my skin is black upon me and my bones are burned with heat. My harp is turned into mourning. You know, when you're in mourning and heaviness and battles, and who wants music, right? Even though music will deliver you, music will pick your spirit up, who wants to turn it on? You know, because my organ is my organ into the voice of them that weep. So the instruments are that are made for pleasure are have turned into weeping around me. So it's kind of a state of great hopelessness for him. And I know for a lot of us, and this being a King James version that I'm reading out of, we may not have said it the same way or even heard Satan's voice the same way, but it all genders to doubt. To doubting the very existence of Yah in your life, to doubting that he's watching or hearing or seeing, and he's getting blamed. So if you take yourself back to those moments where you blamed him, let's go to another sister. Jennifer, your thoughts before I give you sister, let's call her Sister B. Go ahead.
You know, Sister Ashley, I just wanted to say, as you read the passage in Job, and, you know, you think about David and how, just how these passages are so honest. You know, a lot of times you can experience these things, you can feel these things, but if you internalize everything and you're not submitting these thoughts to the Most High Yah, not being honest about what you're thinking, what you're feeling, not releasing them, but you're just internalizing everything, then, you know, where can you expect those things to go except for to set into your body and to cause, you know, cause sickness and to cause your mind to literally be sick. But you really have to get to a point of being honest with the Most High Yah. And it takes a mature relationship with him in order to be able to do that. Sister Ashley?
Very sound words. Let's go to the next one. I'll give this scenario. You give me your thoughts. So what about a 12-year-old girl born and raised happy in what you would consider a perfect life in another country, Africa. Some of us know her personally. And she's told, hey, you're going to go see your, I think it was her uncle. She was not told she would never see her family again. She was not told she was going to get crammed on a plane and sent to America and never to return. So now you're in an all-white world. I call it all white, no matter how many people black, you know, how many blacks walk the street, because it's such a white supremacy, you know, a world, this whitewashed world. So now you have an accent. Now you don't want to talk. Now you have a skin that's blacker and darker. It can't be beautiful. Now you have no confidence, right? Yes, now you got molestation. You don't know your birth date. You don't know your name. So you have this scenario, and all this that's happened to you, where's God? Where's God? Right? So talk to me a little bit about maybe what she might hear in her mind, Jennifer, or what she might have to overcome, even come to the faith, wherever your spirit leads you.
What she might hear, Sister Ashley, would be, you know, the voice of betrayal, you know, being told that you're going to visit an uncle, not knowing that you'll never see your family, your natural family again. So there's an element of betrayal that you'd have to deal with, abandonment. Even identity issues, you know, being taken from your native land to a land where you have no idea how these people function at all. Nobody looks like you. Nobody sounds like you. And there's I'm sure a lot of these scenarios are going to go back to bitterness and unforgiveness, because there's a lot of bitterness and unforgiveness in this scenario as well that has to be dealt with. With the ones who have offended, the ones who have betrayed, the ones who have sent you away, you would even wonder, well, what is wrong with me? You know, why wasn't I good enough to stay with my family? And so there's going to be a bitterness and an unforgiveness that you're going to have to overcome within yourself, against the Most High Yah and against your family members as well. So again, it's a three-part thing. The bitterness and unforgiveness have to be dealt with, but there's three different people that you, or groups of people that you'd have to deal with. Sister Ashley?
I was just today testifying, if you want to say it was a testimony, but I was just today saying that any time, especially early on, that I would hear someone's heart confess a particular righteous place that they were in, that my heart didn't understand or agree with, I would immediately either take note of it mentally or meditate or think on it later. Like, that's where I want to be. I want to get there. You know, I got to get there. So throughout, you know, being together and bonding like we do as fellowshippers of a common unity and common faith, you get to hear where somebody's at because we speak of Christ. And so for this this young woman to have gone through and experienced this, what could happen is a great void, okay? And I'm going to wrap this up with what I was just saying with my testimony today. But she would have a void or a longing for a family, or a longing for the way that life used to be, and an issue of actually letting it go. So that's going to be a spiritual problem, because now you're going to have to fill every void with Christ. So let me wrap that up with what I was saying in the dining hall today. I'm like, if somebody had said, and Pastor, let's use him as chief, who would say, he's my all in all about Christ. He's all I need. He's all I want. And I'm going, I can say that. You know, in my early years, I can say it, but I knew it was mental assent. You know, I'm just saying it because I'm repeating it. I did not have my voice filled by Yah. I did not. So if I longed, I'm giving her, for example, if she longs for a mother or a father or a family member because she's now alone, how can she fill that void with Christ? Jeremiah 31:25 says, for I've satisfied the weary soul and I've replenished every sorrowful soul. But I can doubt that sentence and say, not mine. Do you understand how even Satan himself and his demons can come against the word and go, I'm still weary. I'm still sorrowful. So there's a connection that we have with iniquity, or a connection that we have with sin or letting issues go as women, that actually keeps us from being comforted and from being satisfied. As he says, I satisfy every weary soul. So she would actually have to learn how to fill every void with Christ. And early on, I can't really say that I wanted to fill it with Christ, because he wasn't a man or a physical, you know, a woman, a child. He wasn't a physical being in my life. So I really didn't understand, because I was always wanting to fill the voids with someone physical. And we're built off of social dependency. You know, we want friends and we want loved ones. You want that. You don't want to lose them and let them go. You want them. And so I hope that helps anybody. But if your heart cannot say, he's my all in all, you know, or he has filled a void for me, then that's a route for you, or an area of repentance for you to really seek after. If you sincerely want that void filled, it only comes by something he does when you meet the requirement, of course. But I can't fill my voids, and I've had them. I've had a lot of them. I couldn't fill them with Christ on my own. Hope that makes sense. Jennifer?
Right, Sister Ashley, is so true. We can't fill those voids you know, on our own. Nothing can fill that void at all, because it's created. It's a place that only he can actually fit. And, you know, you get to a place of where you learn how to wait on him. You know, we don't understand what it means to wait on him. You know, we've been raised in a society that has taught us that you can have anything you want right now. Whatever you want, you can have it right now. And it teaches you how to attain those things quickly. You know, the quicker you obtain something, the better you are, the smarter you are, or whatever they want to call it. But they don't teach you how to wait. They don't teach you how to be patient. And so when you come this way and the Father is teaching you patience, he's teaching you how to wait on him, then you're thinking that something's wrong. I'm not doing something right. You start doubting him and you start doubting yourself. You start doubting your relationship with him, and then unbelief comes in. So we have to really unlearn the way that this world has taught us, because it has not done us any good at all as it pertains to our relationship with the Father. Sister Ashley?
All right, let's move to what I would call Sister C, which is, I don't know, 80%. I always throw numbers out at y'all just so you can, like, visually in your mind, you know, this is a lot of sisters, a lot of women. And, I mean, for me, and I'm talking about Hebrew women, I'm talking about black women, what the world would say, African-American women. Sadly, the majority of them are going to say,
my grandma raised me. Or no one at all, you know. And maybe you are a Hebrew woman that doesn't have this story, so you're the minority of the minorities, but your grandma raised you. I didn't know my dad. I didn't know my dad at all, so I didn't see him. Or my mom was a prostitute, or she was a whore, or she jumped from man to man, or maybe she just didn't have no money. I didn't know what she was into, but she was doing the best she could. And you hear that perpetual curse, you know, and it is a curse. It is. That's Deuteronomy 28. You hear that curse, and so where's God in her mind? You know, she's coming to the faith, and she goes, wow, I know who I am now. But now she's got all this past and all these hurts, and now you find out, oh, he's a Yah, the Hebrews. And then it can compile even to more accusations, because if he's a Yah in the Hebrews, why is it happening to our people? Where is he at? What is he doing? He's allowing this. It's the accusations of the enemy. Because no devil is going to say, because of you, because of the covenant that you broke with me. Right? He's a way maker. He's the head and not the tail. So why are we going through this as a people? Jennifer, you were late even more than I could ever. So talk to me about what she has to overcome.
You know, Sister Ashley, for a young lady or a woman who has been raised by her grandmother because, you know, her mother wasn't there. You know, her mother was a prostitute, or her mother was caught up in street life. A woman can hear voices, you're just like your mother. You know, regardless of if she was raised in a healthy environment, she could still hear, you're just like your mother. You'll be just like her. Even if people say, you look just like your mother, you act just like your mother, you know, you can continually hear that a lot. And so you don't, this woman could face the exact same thing that we talked about before, being bitter against her mother for her mother not being there. You know, having the unforgiveness, and also being bitter against herself. You know, what's wrong with me? Why wasn't mom there for me? Doubting herself, the identity issues, not knowing who she really is. You know, wanting her mother to actually approve of her, so doing anything that she can to win the love of her mother. So those are just some things. But again, it has to start with the bitterness, the unforgiveness, to deal with the abandonment, you know, to deal with the fact that she wasn't raised with a father in the home. Women who don't have fathers in the home, they're going to go looking for affection and love from a man any kind of way, so she could grow up in being promiscuous, thinking that the only way to win affection from another man is by showing her body, you know, giving her body away, because that's what she saw. That's what her mother did. That's just what she was accustomed to. So really learning that men are not, you know, real righteous men, that they do exist, and that they're not all there out there to actually harm you. There are men who are righteous and who are loving and who can help, you know, build you up and to really steer you in the direction of loving the Most High, Yah. But again, it starts with the bitterness and the unforgiveness, just as the other examples that we've read. Sister Ashley?
Very good. So hoping that, you know, each scenario that we talk through, that y'all always remember doubt, because when you walk away from the show and you want to increase your faith and you want to manifest faith for anyone's healing, even your own, you want to connect the dots to doubt. So that's the primary reason for this show. If you are or had very contentious relationships with white people or black people or women or men, you can become, of course, prejudiced or racist. You can become, you know, a separatist, a segregist, you know, where you don't know that you bury those things, you know. You don't know that you mistrust white people because it's a white supremacist world. You don't know that you can love a white sister, you know. You have to face these things. You actually may have never thought about it, you know, because you're still functioning within your assembly and your fellowship, just like life. You know, but you know, she's white. or she's black. And you got to deal with yourself on that, because there's no way that Yah can take you from faith to faith, glory to glory, when you hold on to the depths of some of those bitternesses. So go to another sister, Sister D, we'll call her. So she's mixed, right? And already mixed situations, meaning half of one thing, half of another, causes a lot of tension in schools or public schools or in this culture, right? Which is very sad. That's not the intention from the beginning. But so you have a mixed sister or woman, young girl at the time. I'm talking as she was young in a white world. All right, so there's some instability there. And as a little girl, she has to jump out of her kitchen window because her whore of a prostitute of a shitty mom would beat her. And this time, this day, right now, with this voice and this tone, I don't want to get hit. I don't want to get beat. So I'm going to jump out the window. Where am I going to go? I'm going to run to the only place I know because I'm young. I'm a little girl. I'm going to the park. I'm going to sit there. I'm going to sleep overnight. And I'm going to wait till she calms down, till the high is over, till the man is gone. So she goes back the next day, or however much time had transpired. Some of these stories in my mind are, you know, they're not as fresh, but no details are on point. So she goes back home. What happened when she went back home? Well, her mom and her brother, which is the only people she has as a young girl, has left the home, never to return again. Completely gone from her life. Now you're a little girl that is now, what are you going to do? Maybe you'll be homeless, yes. You have nowhere to call, nowhere to go. Maybe you'll be a whore like your mom. Maybe you hate your mom's whoredom so much that you don't want to lay with a man ever. Maybe you don't want to be touched. Maybe you'll hate yourself so much that you'll just eat or that you'll just drink or maybe you'll turn to drugs. Some kind of escape because this battle is too much. I'm a young girl. It ought not be. So then you have, you know, Satan who comes to kill, steal, and destroy, and he's torn this family apart. And now she's in the way. And you have to manifest the belief in Yah. After all that I went through, that he was watching, that he was there. Where was he when she hit me? You know, where was he when she left me? And I'm basically bringing up these doubts and the voices of doubt, because in a trauma where your mind will even go numb, you can't eat, can't sleep, your skin color will change. A natural resistance to trauma and pain happens. And in those traumas, doubt is fresh. Doubt is right there to take your faith away from a creator, like it was for Job. So Jennifer, what does she have to overcome?
You know, Sister Ashley, this could really breed a lack of trust towards women, a hatred of other women. In her mind, she could think that all women are the same. You know, all women behave the same. All women are evil, that there's nothing loving at all about another woman. So when she comes this way, she could find it difficult or hard to trust another woman, especially an older woman. You know, she could find it difficult to sit at an older woman's feet and to actually learn, because her mother never taught her anything. She could have to really fight the mindset of, you know, abandonment. If I put my trust in Yah and I put my trust in these people, they're going to leave me. They're going to abandon me. I can't get really close to these people. I can't let them know who I really am. You know, she could fight fear of the unknown, the preconceived fears of what the future would look like, you know, coming this way, because she's had to pretty much just suffer alone, you know, figure everything out on her own up until now. So putting everything into the hands of the Most High Yah and putting everything, you know, all her trust in him, that he'll actually provide for her and he'll actually take care of her. She may battle that trust. You know, a woman in Israel is to be taken care of from cradle to grave. So she may doubt, that is actually true because of her background, because of her experience, because it's something that she's never experienced before. So being taken care of and really fully, truly submitting may be very difficult for her because of her past and what happened, you know, with a mother, someone who was actually supposed to love her and provide for her and take care of her, but actually abused and misused the authority that, you know, she had in her life, in the life of her daughter. Sister Ashley?
And, you know, not this sister per se, but just any of us, we have to consider our mother's relationship, our relationship with our mother, on a very deep level of what your childhood was really like, what you thought of this woman, how you disrespected her or didn't love her or tore down who she was to you because of the perhaps shitty job that you thought she was performing. But what that will create is the fear of being a mother, because you don't want to be like that. Or maybe you would have children and be such an opposite of your mother the other way that you too would be just as, you know, inconsistent in your discipline towards your children or teaching them, et cetera. You still wouldn't love to be a mother. Or you have to consider your hatred for your childhood. Like when I first became a mother, that's why my first child was, my hardest mentally, because it forces you to change from being a child to being a woman, someone who makes decisions. And when you can still relate to how a child thinks, which we've discussed before as a spirit of arrested development, if you continue to function as a child in your mind, remembering what it was like, how you felt, what you said, what she did, all these painful memories of a relationship between mother and child, you're going to try to manipulate or finagle your relationship with your children in such a way that they'll never think that about you, because you remember how you thought. You remember how you hated her. You remember how she tore you down so you don't want to do it. So now it's keeping you from actually just being a mom, which is a discipline coach, you know, which has so many job duties and responsibilities in itself. But if you find yourself incapable of manifesting any abilities as a mother that you're wanting to manifest, then consider going back to your relationship with your mother and confessing things to the father. I don't mean going back to your mother in the natural and talking to her. I mean talking to the father. He is a deliverer, but only when we verbalize what we desire to be delivered from. You know, you have to confess how you feel. Even in Job's bitterness, at least there was freedom. You know, I'm not saying we go and spew our hatred and bitterness towards the father, but I've always tried to share with sisters that I'm very real with the father. I'm not, you know, he's so sovereign and yes, he's all the things that the word proclaims that he is, but he's not unreachable or untouchable. And I know my state, that I'm just a child and I'm very weak and in great need of him. So I got to go when something hurts. I got to go. Last week, I was pissed. I'm ready to, like, sling something. I was so mad because the accusation came up. It was phony. I hated it. I hate the sin, you know. And an accusation had come that caused too much of the old me to stir up. It didn't manifest itself to anyone else, because at least I've gotten to a mature place of mind where, okay, I'm not going to just, you know, go spew this on anybody. But I'm talking last week, I'm pissed. So I'm going to Yah. Now, perhaps if I had not gone to him to confess that this pissed me off, you know, then what would happen? How can I be free? How can I be real with my Yah if I can't say, I have hated my mom. I have hated her. I can't stand this, whatever. And the list goes on. If you can't become, you know, consider your ancestors who would really, even if it wasn't idolatry, they were able to express themselves. And now we're such an uptight and, what's the word Pastor always says, pompous generation where we don't know how to express anything. Yeah, we'll express flesh, you know, but we withhold from Yah, our deliverer. So don't do that. Don't do that. Take everything you can remember to him. Everything you said, did, how you feel, everything. I do, because I can shake it. So when I got angry, I wasn't angry long, because you got to help me through this. Now I'm ready to go. I'm ready to take somebody's head off with this bogusness, right? So, hey, he helped me calm down. So what you learn as you grow in faith is that, first of all, you're a human being that leans on the arm of flesh. So leaning on Yah is a foreign concept, because you're like, hey, I got this battle, this life, this job, this relationship, this is what I got to do. So you don't really understand in your soul the balance between leaning on him in all ways and all things, and he's my all in all, and then doing what you got to do. Because it feels like it's all you, it's you against the world, or it's you versus you, and he's somewhere. Honestly, that's what it feels like in the beginning. So the more you confess and the more you continue to go to him, not even, help me out, Jennifer, because I've talked a lot. Help me out in conveying the message on how to relate to Yah, how to relate your emotions to him. Give him everything about you. Go ahead.
Sister Ashley, I think we forget a lot of times that he already knows what we're feeling. He already knows what we're thinking. He's just waiting for us to come and confess those things. You know, we think that, oh, this is going to sound so bad. You know, like last week when you were angry, you were upset. You didn't say to yourself, oh, this is going to sound really bad. Mm-mm, I can't go to him with this. I just got to keep it in until I get myself together, and then I'll go to him. No, that's not the way to do it. You have to go to him, you know, in that moment, in a mature way. And I'm not saying that you go to him and that you spew all of your immature heart, but you have to get to a place of maturity where you confess the thing that he already knows. He knows every single thing, and you ask him to help you. And what I've realized is, you know, me and Sister Chandra, we have this joke where, you know, I'll ask the Father to help me, and then she'll look at me and she'll say, he is helping you. You know, and so this is why you're experiencing what you're experiencing, because he is helping you. So we just have to be able to go with him or go to him and confess the thing that he already knows. That's what he's waiting for, so that he can work and move on our behalf. And Sister Ashley, you said something that was really key, where you said, you know, if you're noticing that you still have like childlike thoughts and behaviors and things like that, you need to go back to, as a woman, your relationship with your mother. And a lot of times, you know, you could have made a statement at the age of 5 or 6 or 7, whatever, at a very early age, I'll never be like her. You know, I'll never be like you. I'll never do this to my children. And you may not even remember that, because here you are, you're 45. So 40 years ago, you've made these statements about what you won't do and who you won't be and how you won't act and all that. But you said it and you spoke it in the air. And so you've got a spirit in you that's acting these things out. And so you're still carrying these childlike behaviors because of something that you said 40 years ago that you've never confessed. You've never repented for it. You've never dealt with it. And so this is why you can't be the mother that you need to be to your children, because you're trying to be their friend. You know, you wanted your mother to be your friend. And so now you're being your child's friend, and you're not being the disciplinarian that you need to be in their lives. Sister Ashley?
Well said. I can't add to that at all. Very, very good. And let's go to the next sister. Sister E, I guess you would say. It's a really like more of a short thought, because it's more than one individual, but the body image is involved, because maybe you've been a little overweight or very overweight all your life. You know, maybe you were born overweight. Maybe you do have problems with organs, weight, overeating, etc. Typically verbally abused or physically abused. There's a deep self-hatred there because of body image. And so I'm definitely not justifying, you know, obesity and weight gain, but it's very real. And so in a skinny world where that's what men want and that's what most women even want to be, because the imagery before us, trying to seek the correct, healthy, who you should be, feel, you know, being comfortable in what you were created to look like, be like, or be shaped like, and now you don't have it. You know, you don't have what you want, and this is where that childlike state comes into mind, even with rest of development, where you're very childlike in this mentality, because when you don't get what you want, you throw a fit. And when you don't get what you want, the throwing a fit as an adult can manifest in any kind of way. It's going to be potentially very critical and judgmental on other people, because you're not the way you want to be, you know, so no one else can be that perfect either, you know. But let's give that scenario, Sister Jennifer, to just maybe relating it even to a health circumstance, something that you're longing for. It could be weight, it could be a rash, a skin condition, an answer for your child, you know, for his or her health, something that they're going through, autism, for example, something that's mentally challenging your child. Anything related to the flesh and the body, it's a circumstance that's on you. And so what am I going to say? Where's God? Where's he at? Why is he giving me this? Why do I have a child with Down syndrome? You know, why was I born overweight? So the whys is the devil's playground. Talk to me, Jennifer.
You know, Sister Ashley, this particular sister would have to battle the voice of self-hate, you know, looking at something that is on her body, whether it be her image, her weight, whether it be her skin, whether it be just anything on that she does not like about her body is a form of self-hate that she's really going to have to battle. If it's something within her child, you know, autism or whatever it may be, she's going to have to battle that self-hate, because she could think, well, I've passed this on to my child. This has happened to my child because of me. If it's her, she's going to look for a way to comfort herself. Again, we talked about the void. There's going to be a void there that only the Most High Yah can fill. But if she's not gone to the Father for that void, then she's going to look for ways to comfort herself. So if she's overweight, then she could look to food to comfort herself when people are not looking, when people are not around. If she's a woman who is heavy, then she's going to look to be eating when no one is watching. If she's, you know, she could be thinking, well, I'm just not worth it to even pursue health for myself. I don't look like this sister looks. I don't look the way that I want to look. Or she could even be bitter towards other women. You know, she can blame other women and say, well, she can eat whatever she wants and I can't eat what I want. And so it can cause a bitterness, or her skin is pretty and mine is not. I'm plagued with this rash, or, you know, her child or her children, they're healthy and mine is not. And so there's a comparison that can take place, a comparison that can happen, and it can turn into bitterness and not trusting another sister, really hating, coveting what another sister has, and being bitter against them and bitter against herself. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. And as women, the more that we manifest compassion one to another for any circumstance that we've been through, we will help someone else be strengthened and overcome. Always remember that. So you want to manifest compassion as much as possible, because it is such a strength in our unity. I had a thought, but it had dropped me. Very good words. Very, very good. Maybe it'll come back. But I only have just a little bit to conclude. I'll go ahead and open up the phone lines. I have a caller that's been waiting for a while. It's area code 602. If you did sincerely mean to press 1, you're in my caller queue, area code 602. So I will go to you after our concluding thoughts here. And your guest call in tonight is 310-982-4226. Please keep it specifically to the topic. You know, do you got a question on how to link certain doubts together? Do you want to, yes, you can say thank you, or, you know, anything that's been shown to your mind, and maybe it'll help somebody else. But let's keep it within, you know, just within topic. So, all right. So, last thing, you know, I know a sister who saw a lot of demons growing up, and a lot of us, majority, can't relate to that at all. I mean, even in my life, I've only saw two, and that's only since coming to the faith. So I didn't even know they existed. But I know of at least two women that had a very demonic background where they were continually exposed to demons, seeing them, spiritual world that they didn't have an answer for. They didn't have a name, the mighty name of Jesus, to call on. And so in a spiritual world, a lot of fear is created. That has to, you know, that has to be confessed. And you have to manifest faith in Yah, even though you had this life of, if you want to say, attacks, where spirits were literally always touching or showing up, etc. So now it seems like the constant theme that we keep going back to is, where are you, Yah, when I was going through this? You know, where were you when I was going through this? And we want to answer that, Jennifer. How do we want to answer that? Where were you when I was going through that?
You know, Sister Ashley, the only way that you can answer it is with the word. If you look, you know, in the Psalms, throughout the Psalms, when David spoke, you know, he always talked about Yah always being there. No matter where he was, Yah is always present. So we have to look at the word, and the word will answer the questions, the whys, and where are yous, and all that, all the doubts that we have in our minds. We just don't understand that, you know, when we request something of the Father, that you don't always get, you know, your immediate response from him. You know, like I said, like this is what Pastor said, we don't understand what it means to wait on him. And so he may be teaching us to wait on him, but in the midst of that, we still trust. But he's still there. You know, he's still always there. But it really takes just really getting to a strong, mature place in your relationship with him and trusting that no matter what happened to you, no matter the questions that you have in your heart, that he wants to deliver you from all of these fears that you have going forward, all of these doubts, all of these voices that you hear, because the devil will continually try to whisper into your ear and make you think that, you know, Yah is not loving, Yah is not righteous, and that he's not just. And he just wants to plant a small seed of unbelief so that Yah can't set you free, so that you can remain bound. Sister Ashley?
Very good. So your relationship with the Father that we always discuss, my sisters, can't be built on anyone else's direction or opinion. I'll give you the hypothetical that maybe the only thing you know about Yah is just what you hear on our show. Let's just say that, for example. And so you would believe that, okay, Yah thinks this, and then next fifth day you go, okay, add that to what he thinks. And then the next fifth day you go, okay, I'll add that to what he thinks. And because you're not cultivating your own, like, understanding, and you're just, of course, you're supposed to take what we say and really apply it. So let me present that balance too. But what I mean is you can have individuals in your life or in your fellowship that, okay, whatever they say, that's what Yah thinks, you know, or whatever, even your own husband who's going to give you righteous, godly counsel, that's what Yah thinks. But what can happen is it'll cause a wavering in you because now you're not knowing for your own self. You know, it's just another person's words. It's just pastor's words. And so it'll create misdirection, misguidance. You go back and forth. You waver a lot. And this is the year that pastor said whatever shakes will be shaken. And so you want to be really rooted and grounded. You don't want to be confused. So when there's things that you don't know, you're confident in just waiting. You know, when there's answers you don't have, you're confident in waiting. I remember there was a time, oh, my gosh, early on, I was so immature too. I don't know if everybody else knew it because sometimes when y'all say, I had no clue you were that bad, actually, like, really? I had no clue. They was like, no, most people didn't know. You know, while I'm revealing to you, like, the depths of my heart. So there was something in me that was like, I want to tell somebody, man. Like, it didn't matter what it was. Like, especially if it was bogus or, like, something false or a misrepresentation. Well, who can I tell? Like, somebody needs to help me right now. And my first thought was not, Yah's going to help me. No, it was, I'm going to take this matter into my own hands, and we're going to get to the bottom of it, because I'm not familiar with his ways. Now I'm familiar with being lied on and accused and waiting. You know, now I'm familiar with my shepherd or someone I love being misrepresented and lied on and accused and taking it patiently and taking it to Yah. That was new for me. That was very new for me. And it wasn't an easy place to get to, especially as, I don't know, as much fire in the flesh that I had, you know. So I tried to get to that, like, that source in me that was like, what is this always want to go tell somebody? You know, I wanted an answer, and I wanted it a lot faster than I ever got in my spirit. You know, like, Yah's not going to, oh, just kneel down before him and I get an answer immediately. Sometimes, now that I'm mature and I have a relationship with him, I get some direction most of the time. But early on, you don't even know him yet, you know? So you're being tested and proven. So what your relationship is actually doing is, I'll give you an example. If you really are connected with him, whatever the hurt may be that you're going to experience, whatever the trauma, the death, or anything that's going to occur in your life, he can give you comfort before it. He can give you knowings before it. I'll give you an example of when my mom, and y'all heard this before, my mom, who was with the ministry about 12 years, had the gift of healing, and she was a friend to the ministry. When she was in the faith, I would get things in my spirit. One of them was we had taken a picture on the land. It was like her, it was a lot of us in the picture, but we're walking away from the picture. Everybody's hee hee ha ha, and we're all, you know, like having a good Shabbat. And I hear, this is the last picture she'll take on this land. It was still like another year before she fell away, but guess what? She never took another picture. So when you hear those little things, you go, oh, okay. Note to self, make separation. I woke up one morning and I heard, I'm just like, I'm barely even, I mean, you know, your eyes are like dark, still sleepy. Nobody really wants to get up, right? We want to be up, but we don't want to get up. And so I hear, prepare your heart, your mother is leaving the way. And you know what I did? I just cried. I don't even know why I cried. I remember crying, going, why am I even crying? But I was letting it all go. He said, prepare my heart, then I'm preparing my heart. Because I thought within my own flesh and my own strength I could take it. Like, hey, whoever leaves, whoever goes, whatever friend, whatever family member, whatever, I'm here to stay. But obviously he's telling me, you need to prepare yourself. So I'm crying. Hey, whatever I got to do to prepare myself, I don't want to be taken with her, you know? I don't want to be taken with her. So after 12 years of dedication, she left. Now, lastly, there was a young man and young wife. It's kind of, if you want to say, like, what is this, F, scenario F or whatever. It's very, very realistic. Young man, he would be a son, and then a young wife, who would be mom, whose dad died instantly. Instantly, without, you know, any knowing. They had no clue dad was going to die. Something was wrong with his heart. They're in the faith. They're believing on Yah. This is no clue. This is very traumatic. Or the young woman who lost her husband to cancer, and the family who tried everything, who lost their brother and their friend, and their all in all, their buddy, their companion, their believer. They're trying everything to win the victory. They're praying, diet, there's nothing, nothing that wouldn't stop them from getting an answer, nothing. But yet Yah still took them. There's two instances of death that's very traumatic that leaves you in a very questionable state. And in those questionable states, no matter what scenario, because I go all the way back to scenario A with sister A, sister B, wherever you fit in, you get to a questioning state because it's Satan who is questioning. You know, it's Satan who's saying, is that miracle really real? Was that really Yah's voice? Does he really direct straightway like that? Does he really heal like that? Did that young girl's leg really grow out? And all that questioning, is Satan, your foe, hindering your faith? So you want to get rid of the voices, and you want to get rid of your doubts. You go back to your traumas. You go back to those emotional states of expression where you didn't care who heard you or the middle finger that you threw up to God. When my father died and I was 16 and he shot himself in the temple, there was no way I believed God would do that to me. I remember being, y'all heard it, I was pissed when a preacher walked, we say preacher in the South, when a preacher walked up to me and said, daughter, we're at his funeral now, we're burying my dad on Valentine's Day. Daughter, I'm so sorry that your dad went to hell. What? You know how mad I was? Who am I mad at? God. I'm mad at God. You understand? You're going to allow my dad to be taken from me, and then you're going to allow this man to say this to me. Then you're going to allow my family to fall apart because the treacherousness that happened between my family was literally more than a Hollywood movie after that. And everybody wanted to come out and confess who molested who and whose cousin was really not their cousin. It was a zoo for years. The entire life of all 75 of the cousins that I had. My grandma had so many children. The older lives was not what they had expected them to be. Oh, that's not my dad? What? Your dad molested me? Yeah, and your uncle raped me? And yeah. So I'm like, I'm done. My middle finger was up towards the Most High, y'all. And so I had to really, really go back to those moments because it affects your healing. It affects your belief in him. It affects your belief in what he's done for someone else. It affects your hearing. When you hear the miracles, the signs, and wonders of what he's doing, you actually can't really believe because he didn't do it for you and he didn't do it to you. I got some callers. Jennifer, what'd you say before I open it up?
You know, Sister Ashley, I just wanted to say that experiences like that can really try to push you in the area of unbelief and, you know, preconceived fears of, you know, well, Yah didn't come through for this one. Yah didn't heal this one. If I go through the same thing, will the same thing happen to me? And so, you know, you see someone die and you see someone struggling, you know, in their death, and you see it and you experience it. And like you said, it's a traumatic experience and it could usher in such a fear that if you don't deal with that fear, then you could take with you in your heart that, you know what, this same thing could happen to me and he won't come through for me either. And it's such an area of unbelief that needs to be dealt with. Sister Ashley.
Yes, ma'am. And going back to Sister A, who I was saying there was a connection between idolatry, bitterness towards Yah, the molestation of the pastor, et cetera, that one. One thing that really irritated and agitated the spirit that I was casting out was me saying this one phrase. And if you know anything about being a deliverance worker, you find that little one phrase that irritates that spirit more than anything, it's going to cut up, it's going to come out. But I kept saying, Yah, God, the Most High, is not a taker. You are. And would scream out, say, you're the taker. And it was just angry. Because why? It accuses Yah of being the taker. The taker of life, homes, family, division. It accuses Yah. He's the giver. He's the giver of all good gifts. And so I'm telling that spirit, you're the taker. You know, you come to steal, kill, and destroy. You divided. You accused. He's the giver. He's the giver. And that thing was just screaming out. Let me go to Arizona. Arizona 602, thank you for your wait. That's you 602, you're live on Sister to Sister.
Shalom, sisters.
Shalom.
Hello?
Yes, ma'am, you're live on the air. Go ahead.
Oh, bless you, sisters. Oh, I
bless y'all. I'm excuse me, let me interject. I was muted. Bless you,
I've been trying to get through what I finally got through today because I pushed one. And I just wanted to call and just thank you, sisters, for all your wise counsel. It's really helped me in this walk. I've been listening to the ministry for about a year now, and my master and I, we fellowship with Will and Rachel Fairley in Yuma, Arizona. And I just wanted to call and make myself known. I'm not feeling well. I'm holding on, and I puked like twice. I was like, Lord, please don't let them come on while I'm puking. But I just wanted to call in and say shalom and how much I appreciate and listening to you ladies. And I've never, ever met or even spoke with anyone who just speak with so much godly wisdom in my life. And I just thank you. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Sister Ashley and Sister Jennifer.
Bless you, my sister. Forgive me. I had the phone was muted. I'm answering you and talking to you, and I'm thinking it's your phone because you can't hear me. And it was mine, my sister. Why are you puking? What, you're sick? Flu? What you got?
I don't know. I think it is the flu. I just woke up this morning with a head cold, and then my master gave me some medicine, and I always puke when I take medicine, so that made it worse. So I think it may be like a cold or flu or something.
Hey, you want us to pray for you right now?
Yes, please.
All right, lay your hands on your head or on your throat, whatever bothers you.
Okay.
All right, you got a lot of sisters touching and agreeing. So right now, in the mighty name of Jesus, we rebuke this cold, this fever, this flu, any symptom of any spirit or natural cause in the name of Jesus. Let it be far removed from my sister. I rebuke you. I command you to loose her right now in Jesus' name. I command all your symptoms to go far from here for your glorification, Father, for her faith to be increased in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
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 Thank
Hallelujah.
You.
Yes, ma'am. Go in strength,
so
my
much.
Sister. Will you spell your name for me? I'm gonna put it in my call log.
It's CLOHRISA. Barry, like the fruit.
Okay, Barry.
I told Sister Candace when I finally got through with you guys, I was gonna say, where you been all my life?
Hallelujah. Oh, Carissa, thank you. Thank you for your comments on our channel and for following us. Bless you.
Yes, ma'am. And my master and I will be attending Passover this year with you.
All right, now. Get yourself ready for the time of your life. Best party
yes,
on
ma'am.
Earth.
Bless you, Sister Jennifer.
Bless you, my
I'm
dear. Shalom.
I'm sorry. I got to clean it up.
Oh, hallelujah. Yes, ma'am. Shalom, shalom. Hallelujah. She got to go clean it up. All right, two more calls. We'll call it a night. Let's go to California. California, area code 925. Shalom. Bless you, California.
Shalom, Sister Ashley. Shalom, Sister Jennifer.
Shalom.
Who's this?
Sister Melina.
Melina. Bless you, Melina. You are
bless
on my mind
you.
More than
bless
you.
Bless you. Oh, I hope that's a good thing. I just wanted to call in and say thank you for the show, for all the shows. You guys do so much, and it's just literally bringing out every time, like, how much wickedness that I need to remove, and I just thank you because it's like, okay, I start thinking, like, okay, I need to get this done, and I believe it's a spirit, and then you guys come and confirm that it is what I'm dealing with, and it's just like, thank you, y'all. I needed that. And I just wanted to say thank you, and that I'm still listening. I'm still here, still listening. I was busy for a long time, and my schedule got cleared up from my job, so I'm able to really get in more what I need to get in, but I just wanted to say thank you for the show and for all the sisters that gave the A, B, C, and D. All those examples were a help for me relate to spirits and more discernment. So thank you.
You're so welcome. Thank you for calling in. It really is nice to hear your voice. Bless you and your children, my sister. Drive on.
Yes, ma'am.
Hello. Hallelujah. Melina, good to hear from. We're jumping to New York, New York. Who could it be? I got two New Yorkers with me. Hey, only that. Smiling. I got two New Yorkers behind me. Phone. Esther!
Shalom to Thursday, Sister Rachel. I'm calling off of another number. Bless you.
You sound like Esther. Bless you, Rachel. Bless you. Talk to us. We're ready to hear from you.
Oh, yes, ma'am. I just wanted to share for Shalom, Sister Sabrina and Sister Lee. I'm glad you guys made it safely, and I miss you, and I hope you're enjoying your time. But, yes. I hear them. But the,
you already
the
know. You can see them smiling, right?
yes, I can. Hallelujah. The other reason why I called was because what you said just you said a lot of things, but pertaining to, I'll paraphrase it in the way that I heard it, just taking every single emotion to Yahweh when the flesh tries to rise up, that just resonated so much with me. Because I was having a conversation with Sister Kimberly and Sister Esther separately this week, and I was sharing with them, I'm like, you know, and I'll try to keep it brief, but you know, like sometimes I wonder, you know, Brother Dominic no longer being here, I'm like, I wonder in other people's eyes, do they think that I'm no longer grieving because they see so much peace, Yah's peace, and I was telling them, I'm like, you know, I can only say that I have peace, because every time that I cried, I can literally say every time that I've cried, and I praise Yah for that, there's no strength in me. I'm not giving myself strength. But it led me to go and praise Yahweh in that moment, in my tears, in the moment where I was very weak, when I felt alone. And just to hear you say that, because I know so much how much Yahweh has strengthened me in that area where there's been questions of not understanding why or just so many questions, so many things that could be confusing. And I can say that Yah's given me understanding, so much peace. There's no, like, I don't deal with those questions. I can say that so confidently and boldly only because I took it to prayer with the power of Yah, of course, no strength in me. And he heard my prayer and he answered. And just you talking about that, it just fired me up so much. And I was texting Sister Kimberly. I'm like, oh, my gosh, Sister Ashley's in our conversation. She's like, call in, tell her. So I didn't want to call in truly. But you said, you know, to share, if anyone wanted to share something and call in, I'm like, this would be a great opportunity. So even this week, I was just dealing with so much worries. And I'm like, wait, Rachel, you know exactly what to do. This is just a different emotion, but just take the same thing to Yahweh. And it's not like I'm coming, oh, man, Yahweh, I don't come disrespectfully, of course. But I take that emotion and I'm honest with it. And I make it as concrete, at least as I know as I can. And he takes it and I don't even have to worry about it anymore because his word says, cast all your cares to him, for he cares for you. So I just wanted to share that. Like, I'm still fired up by what you said. It's real and it's true, and I can say that what you said about dealing with that flesh trying to rise up and just taking it to prayer, Yah hears to his children. So that's pretty much it, my sisters.
Very good, and you gave me some concluding thoughts, so thank you. Something I definitely wanted to hit before the show ends. Bless you, dear Sister Rachel,
bless
Sister
you.
ASS from Finland, hallelujah. And bless you from my New Yorker, say what you want to say.
Shalom.
Hey, so to wrap it up and conclude tonight's show, Sister Jennifer, my thought would be that, you know, there's not always going to be that perfect time to go run to prayer when you feel the emotion, although you do want to make it there on your next opportunity. Depending on where you're at, in my mind, I will just disagree with a feeling. I'll just disagree. Or if I feel the agreement of it, I will remember to take that to my prayer the very next time. So I want y'all to all have that, you know, that connection with your own spirit, with the own communication that you're hearing, that those times and the opportunity to repent will come. It'll come soon. It'll come at nighttime or bedtime or morning time or whatever, but you need to remember and retain what you're going through. You need to remember that emotion that you were in and confess it. And so for me, it's just a mental, I talk to the Father with my mind. You know, that is meditation anyway. So you talk to the Father with your mind. I don't agree with this. Now, I know I'm saying it to y'all. You know, it wouldn't matter if a spirit came along and said he ain't listening to you because you ain't on your knees. No, I know this ain't true, and I'm not agreeing with this, you know. And so you're continually just casting down every evil thought and wicked imagination that exalts itself against the knowledge of Yah. And by that casting down or that recognition of what a spirit is saying to you, you're gaining strength and you're gaining faith that when it's time to hit your knees, you're going to give those confessions. So, Jennifer, your thoughts?
Sister Ashley, that's why we're told, you know, pray without ceasing. So if you're praying without ceasing, you're not going to be able to be on your knees 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You know, you're going to be doing duties. You're going to be going on about your business, and you have to be able to get a hold of your mind. And like you said, communicate with the Father in your mind no matter what you're doing. Doesn't matter if you're washing dishes, if you're working out in the garden, whatever you're doing, you need to be able to communicate with him in your mind and pray to him without ceasing. So get a hold of those thoughts that are unrighteous and confess them to him during those times so that when you do have the time that's set aside where you can, it's just you and him and you can get on your knees, then you've done all the pre-work. You know, you've done all the disagreeing with the negative accusing thoughts and all the thoughts that are contrary toward him. And when you get on your knees, you can just get right down to business and take care of what needs to be taken care of instead of agreeing with these thoughts all day long with these, you know, these wicked thoughts and just allowing your mind to be able to run free. So that's all I had to say.
Very good. And it is at times very difficult, my sisters. It's not always going to be easy depending on how strong your emotion is. You can even sense hatred of Yah. It's a sense. It comes over. You know what that feels like. It's a separation created by you and not him. And so you can begin to, I guess, put a name, even a spiritual presence, to everything you feel. You know, you really can. It takes some time, but you'll get there. All right, let's end the show with this phone call. Let's go New Jersey, area code 201. 201, you're live if you can hear me. Shalom.
Shalom, Sister Ashley. Shalom, Sister Jennifer. This is Sister Jalissa.
Bless you, Sister
Shalom.
Jalissa. It's been a while since we heard you on the show. Thanks for calling in. What you got?
I'm just basically calling in because I'm being obedient to what I was commanded to do. So I'm just calling in to just let you guys know that I received the Holy Spirit. So that's all I got.
Uh-oh. Hey, I'm going to let you go. I'm going to blow this trumpet. We're going to sound the alarm. Let all of Satan's kingdom know another one's sealed. Bless you, my sister. Shalom and good night, saints, sisters. Thanks for listening in. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you. Shalom. Shalom.